everybody, welcome to the Dudes and Dads podcast. Glad to have each and every one of you along for the ride.
Joel, this music is just, I love it. It makes me feel like I'm at the House of Blues.
It just puts you in that laid back mood, which I started getting in that laid back mood, Andy, as I was driving to the studio this evening, and the sun is setting, but it was still out as I was coming in here.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's almost like we're finally maybe getting into springy.
Hey everybody, hope you're all doing well. Thanks for coming and checking us out for this episode. It's gonna be a good conversation with Andy and I. Kind of inspired by a recent conversation I had with some young professionals, as it were. Like talking to the young people, the 20-somethings that are getting out there into the world of work, and especially those that are doing so from a faith perspective, you know, asking the question, what does it look like for me to be like a faithful follower of Jesus and also to be a good employee? Because apparently, Andy, the studies have come out. Apparently, our 20-somethings are struggling. They're struggling to keep their jobs specifically. But hey, we're going to dive into all that. We're going to have a conversation. We want to talk about how we can be preparing our young people to enter the workforce with purpose and mission. And kind of some of the big categories that are maybe holding them back. So
I'm excited about that show, or this episode, Joel. It's going to be fun. I've seen some stuff at my place, so I'd like to chat a little bit. But first, though, support comes from Everence, dedicated to helping make Medicare an easy step through free educational seminars and individual consultations. Learn more at Everence.com/Medicare-Monday. Securities offered through Concourse Financial Group Securities Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC.
And we also want to give a big thank you to our sponsor over at Avad Chiropractic. The big question, guys, is are you experiencing pain? Do you need a little bit of a reset or realignment, as it were? Well, hey, the people over at Avad Chiropractic specialize in advanced techniques like chiropractic adjustments, deep tissue and relaxation massage. Oh,
yes.
I need some of that. Compression therapy and more to target the root cause of your discomfort, not just the symptoms. Don't settle for just getting by. Experience real relief. Book your appointment today at avadchiropractic.com and click the schedule now button or call 574-312-0402. Avad Chiropractic and Wellness, because your body deserves the best. Your body deserves the best, Andy.
Thank you, Joel. Joel, I'm excited about this. Yeah. So we have a new voicemail number. We have not had a whole lot of voicemails. In fact, I got a couple from our old voicemail number that I want to play real quick. Okay. And then we'll go into the new voicemail number.
Okay? Got you. This is the way we're sort of saying goodbye to the old. This is the way of saying goodbye to the old voicemail number.
This voicemail number, or this voicemail, came in a while ago.
Okay.
From my daughter. I'll just say that. It's from my daughter, Reagan. And she was
a little disgruntled.
Let's just take a listen.
Okay.
Hi there. I'd like to file for complaint. I haven't been on the show very much, so yeah, get me on the show.
Oh, okay.
Goodbye.
Okay. So that was number one, and then this is number two.
I do not consent to having my voice on the show, but I would like to just file a complaint that my last voicemail did not end up on the show.
Oh.
And not very happy. Probably gonna sue the host. And
So Reagan was not, she was actually sitting in the studio when she left.
Yeah, it took a lot of guts literally to call our voicemail while she was sitting here with us to complain
about us. So that's besides the point. So let's play it. Happy Reagan. We made you on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Secondly though, the new voicemail number for one is 574-501. Yes, I'm getting too many numbers here. We'll get this eventually. 574-501-4467. So again, that's 574-501-4467.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because it's not only a voicemail number. Again, it's the same voicemail that you can call and leave us a voicemail during the week.
Yes.
Won't wake us up. Won't do anything like that.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about it is, during our shows, you can actually call in.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone wants to call in, again, that number is 574-501-4467. and you can call in and talk to us while we're on the show live.
Yeah. And I told Indy, just as long as we don't get any weirdos calling in, we don't have to screen.
We're going to need a screener,
you people.
But all right. So that's our new voicemail number. Feel free to call us if you want during the show. We would love to talk to you about this or anything else. You can also join our Zoom backstage at dudesanddads.com/backstage.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
The backstage. Thanks so much, Andy, for that. We love the voicemails. We keep on asking, and we feel like we're going to turn the corner eventually. The voicemail thing, the call in thing is going to hit eventually. We just know that we're going to get it in front of the right person. Someone's be like, yes, I will call in. I will leave a message. I'll leave that feedback.
Somebody that's not disgruntled like Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone who's not a teenage disgruntled teenage girl.
All right.
Okay.
So tonight we're talking a little bit about college graduates and like them losing their job and not being able to keep jobs and
all that. Yeah.
All of that fun stuff. So Joel, you have this great slide. So tell me a little bit about this. You've done a presentation recently because you gave me this nice like slide deck that you said, hey,
yeah. I got some info. Right?
You got some info. So we're taking a look at the slide deck and some stuff you gave us recently.
Here's the deal. This is a report that, quite honestly, I think my wife sent this to me at first. Was on the news, was on a program, I think a radio podcast program, and was talking about a study that had just recently been released on how Gen Zers were just like losing their jobs at pretty record rates due to being let go, like intentionally like let go or fired.
Like they didn't just leave.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. This was like there were concerns about their job performance to an extensive level. And their bosses were saying, we just don't think, their bosses were saying, it's not us, it's you.
See ya.
and we just think that, this is not a good fit for you. And so then they released and then they surveyed all of these company leaders, the HR people, all of that, and really tried to get to the bottom of, this is off of intelligent.com. We'll in the show notes, I'll give you the reference for the shows and like where the study came from. This was released at the beginning of 2025, done off of some things that were also collected this past fall. So pretty recent. The thing that really kind of, I think troubled me and kind of broke my heart a little bit, Andy, is people who will soon have, before we know it. Now we're talking about kids going to college soon, but then shortly after the college experience, they enter the workforce. So we hope.
Right.
That's on our radar. And I'm sure plenty of our listeners have young people that are right in that season as well. And it's like, man, we want to prepare our kids to be like great employees and ideally to keep jobs.
Right.
You know,
so I mean, this is an interesting phenomenon because this is not something that's necessarily happened in the past. So let's talk a little bit about recent reasons that college graduate hires have not been successful.
Yeah. Because the CEOs, the owners of these companies that were letting these people go, the bigger what kind of troubled me was the statement was being made. I am just not going to hire 20 somethings
right
anymore. Like they're kind of just like a whole generational blackball kind of thing.
And how do you get that expertise? Because a lot of times people are looking to hire people who are already, already have some experience, but how do you get that experience?
Right. Cause now they're saying they're becoming less and less likely to give young people a chance in the job market because of these. So these are the categories. These are the main, we've got this up. So for those of you listening, listed 10 of the top 10 categories, why these recent college grad hires were not successful. So we're talking roughly someone in there about 22, 23 years of age.
Right. And the top one, the one that is gaining me at 50% of these reasons is lack of motivation or initiative.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. And this made me think, Andy, like I was just like, okay, I know that sometimes older people see younger people. I'll just talk about my kids.
Sure.
Specifically. I as a parent, I sometimes go, man, I just wish they would show more initiative toward things, right? Like anything from mowing the lawn. That's probably a bad example because I've got two kids right now that actually are like they argue over who gets to mow the lawn. They're but those sort of things, right? Things around the house, doing that sort of stuff of seeing a thing that needs to be done and doing it, right? Like we have this sense of like, okay, that's a necessary skill. But then I think it's easy for us to assume like, oh, they'll kind of pick it up, right? They'll they'll eventually get the idea that they need to sort of step up and take a step forward and do things on their own and not have to be told what to do all
the time.
Sure,
not this. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this.
And then my concern is when I saw this study, Andy, I was like, apparently 50% in this study, 50%, half of the people that were losing their jobs right out of college, they were losing it because they were not able to show a sense of motivation or initiative in their work.
So we actually have a comment here. Roy is saying, I teach college classes part-time, and I'm so disappointed to see the students take courses in a degree that it's clear that they have no interest in.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a whole thing of itself too. Because if you have no interest in what you're taking courses in, then why are you even taking those courses?
Yeah, it's like especially the way as expensive as college is, it's like, boy, you better really like. We're all going to take classes that we're. I specifically remember this, guys. Andy obviously went to college a little bit later in life, but I would say was an excellent. Were you a 4.0 student?
Close. Only reason I wasn't is because grades, I brought it back in from the previous college.
Yeah. So. I got scammed out of that. I remember that. But anyway, no offense, Indiana Wesleyan University. No,
Indiana was my one. It wasn't Indiana Wesleyan. It was my other one.
I'm kidding. Oh, yeah. Your previous one. Yes. Your previous place of education. Anyway. But like. Where was I going with this before I made a joke about your grades? The whole idea here is that we all have, like in the college setting, we all have some classes, right? That we're not thrilled with. I specifically remember because it's been more recent, like every once in a while you'd have a course where you're like, oh my gosh. Cause you were in the profession, you were in your field for quite a while as a professional and like you're taking classes about things that you are already pretty well versed in. So it's like, that's a struggle, but in general, yeah, it's like, why to sort of be motivated toward these things? I don't know. That's a good question. Unless you're getting pressured to be in a particular degree program or going to college for reasons that you shouldn't be. But, So, lack of motivation or initiative. And I think it's just something to think about. I don't know if I have like great one size fits all solution for like how to instill those things in young people. Other than if you're a parent right now, just know that the job market, people, employers are looking for, and this is not new, but I think particularly now, they're looking for motivated young people. They're looking for people who take initiative that will say, that will look around and say, hey, where is there a problem and how can I solve it? And I want to be that person. I want to step forward and take that leap. And even, you know, even from a standpoint of young leadership, you know, like, hey, there's a need here and I'm going to move forward. I'm going to take a step intentionally. So, it's something to consider. Just to be aware of. Number two.
Wait, hold on. So Roy wrote back.
Oh, Roy. I like this, Roy. Yes, good interaction.
So many cybersecurity students who don't go off and try to research things on their own. No passion for the topic. So many students take computers because it's cool or the job folks can make money in. Uh-huh. This leads to the lack of motivation.
Gotcha.
Or it's because of a lack of motivation.
Yeah. So that's an interesting perspective in that the lack of motivation is coming from just them not being aligned with what their actual passion is, they're pursuing an area of, and then obviously that would be even worse if they're entering the job market in an industry that they're actually not
qualified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or interested in.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Number two.
Lack of professionalism. Now, here's one. I gotta see if there's. I was looking at these other categories here. If this fits in, I'm guessing this fits in. Okay, so part of professionalism, Andy. Here's the thing, and I've heard this. I hear this from business leaders all the time. I also hear this from. I had a really great opportunity actually to talk with a group of young folks who are, they're out of high school and they're doing a gap year apprenticeship program.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Over the course of a year.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I got to meet with them. And actually, this is where I first like presented some of this information to them, because I just wanted to give them a context of like, this is what your generation is up against right now and how you have an opportunity to sort of stand out in a job market where people are, quite honestly, it seems like people are expecting you sort of to fail. Mm-hmm. Like people are expecting you, because they're seeing this enough where it's like, ah, we just, every 22-year-old that walks in here is not a great employee. And so that's kind of becoming the norm. Under the kind of banner of lack of professionalism is being on time, like being on time for things.
I'll tell you what will get you on time for things. So if you ever work in the production, like RV market, like you have to be clocked in and ready to go at 6 o'clock or whatever time you start at.
Uh-huh.
And you get like, I think literally like three chances. Yeah, and if you're late at all, then you're gone. It's not even like, I'm sorry that your tire blew on the way over or you got stopped by a train, which happens a lot in Goshen.
It does.
You lose your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that'll get you on time pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think most places are becoming more and more rigid about that, because there just seems to be kind of this, you know, kind of laissez-faire approach to it. But the lack of professionalism. So there is, yes, there's the timeliness, being punctual. I was talking with one, when I was doing this presentation, I was talking with one young adult. I think he was in his mid 20s, 25, 24, 25. And he said, he was talking about a job that he had last summer, where he apparently, he's like, my boss, I had a great relationship with my boss. My boss took me aside and was just like, man, you're killing it. You're just doing such a fantastic job. And he goes, and I had this moment where I was like, dude, all I do is just show up on time. All I do is show up on time and do my job. He goes, wasn't considering myself to be any like above and beyond sort of employee.
Sure. Right?
I did what was asked of me. I was there on time. I clocked in, I clocked out. Cause it was a summer job that he was doing. Right. And even that, just that approach alone of being there on time, doing exactly what I was asked, and just not being a problem that way, his boss saw that as like
something
stellar,
yeah,
just extraordinary, absolutely stellar. And so I just think, I said to them, I said, guys, the bar is not set very high right now. So if you just have a commitment of doing the thing that you're asked to the fullness of your ability, that right now will be viewed as like almost above and beyond now, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of to look at it that way. Also, just go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and Roy has mentioned again, but business leaders partnering with colleges would be great to kind of teach some of these basic skills, because they're just not like these basic things that you need to show up for business aren't showing in college. They're not being taught.
I noticed the other day I had a young person introduce themselves to me. And when I say young person, they're maybe 20 years old. Looked me in the eye and shook my hand and introduced themselves. And I think you and I would say that'd be a standard business interaction practice for us. But when they did it, it really stood out to me.
Hmm.
And I was like, huh, wow. So those basic professional mm-hmm. etiquette sort of things, showing up on time. I had a meeting. I won't let the cat out of the bag. We had a meeting with a future show that we're going to do. So I was talking to somebody who is in an academic setting,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about, in our virtual realities now, like even like Zoom meeting etiquette, because mm-hmm. a lot of places are doing that, especially hybrid employees or whatever, like, where people are just like are lacking certain decorum, certain practices in Zoom meetings. Like they're turning their camera off for extended periods of time. And then when called upon, it's clear that they are like not there, or they are doing something else, or, you know, kind of tuned out that sort of way.
So that kind of goes on to the next couple down. I mean, there's poor organizational skills and poor communication skills.
Yeah.
And that comes in like almost 40%. It looks like 37% or so, like, is poor communication skills. And I've seen that too. And to go to your, but what's weird about you're having the Zoom camera off.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen that before, and it's not even just a younger person. It was an older person. So I don't know if that, like, to me, if I'm on now again, this is, if I'm in a setting where I join the meeting, mm-hmm. usually I'll have my camera off, but if there are others that have it on, I'll turn it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, especially in a business setting. And now a lot of times when we're going business to business, so like if I'm working with another business company,
sure.
I'm not going to necessarily, most of the time they don't have their cameras on.
Yeah.
But if I come into the meeting and they have them on, I'm going to turn it on.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think that, maybe that's I'm always curious. I do a fair amount of those meetings, both with, so as I lead a non-for-profit, my board of directors, mm-hmm. for instance, they're spread out over a decent geographic mm-hmm. area. So we do our monthly meetings that way. And I just, for me, it's like, man, it's a relational connectivity opportunity. Mm-hmm. Right. And I just don't know if maybe that's just not seen that same way by a younger generation, or if they're just like, I didn't want to comb my hair this morning. So I'm not, you know, and I don't know the full implications, but again, some of those things, like you said, communication skills, organizational skills, kind of some of those core things. And, you know, Andy, I just think about it, like, where did you and I learn? And I wouldn't say like, I'm not like a well-oiled machine when it comes to organization or whatever, but like, where did you and I learn our mm-hmm. organizational skill? I was just thinking about this, like, cause I didn't have an organizational skills class that I ever took.
Okay.
How did we do that? Like, where did we learn how to,
that's a good question. I'm not really sure.
Cause I just like just one day I was like, okay, this is how I'm organizing things.
Well, I think part of it comes down to, we see it like by example. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we grew up in homes that were pretty organized.
Yeah.
And then I had a job when I was 16, 17. And I think some of these kids today don't necessarily have those skills. And so they're going to college right offhand. Or like, I think a lot of it is just the changing of the culture too, mm-hmm. where it is. I mean, now because of the fact that we have this, we're having to deal with this hybrid approach to business, mm-hmm. where we have some businesses are again, full in person.
Yep.
Some are fully remote and some are like a hybrid where you have 2 days at work and 2 days not. And that was easy for me to transition into.
Yeah.
I'm working hybrid most days or 2 days out of the week. And I think for me, it was easy to transition into that. But for those who have not necessarily had that and they've grown up now, with Zoom, and it's a different, way of doing things, you know, where you're in person, there is a little bit different of a reading mm-hmm. and a different of a how it goes. So I think probably some of that, those skills and organization skills have come from just being, I guess, experience. I mean, because we, you know, we had those jobs and for me, I had a job that wasn't necessarily like working at McDonald's or something where it was a traditional, I was working in a warehouse.
Yep.
And so for me, I had a chance to see how businesses run. And then again, not just in a McDonald's job, like I had a pretty good paying job when I was in high school.
Yeah. My first job was when I was in fifth grade and I had, Andy, back when you had paper routes.
Oh,
paper routes. And I was just thinking about this. That was the first time that required actually like just thinking about this. Let's see. As an 11-year-old kid in fifth grade, having a paper route where I had to, had a route I had to keep organized, and then I had to collect payment.
Oh, so you were actually financially responsible.
That's right. I was responsible to collect payment for, and then, and you had to keep track of like who was the weekend deliveries and the daily deliveries and all that sort of stuff. And I just, again, I just wonder like, where are those opportunities, or are those kind of opportunities just to even begin in the mm-hmm. early, like the early process of learning organizational skills. So again, parents, guardians, educators, you know, people that are interacting with students, the organizational piece, understanding organization, understanding how to manage your workflows and things like that. However, however complicated or simple they might be, it's a real skill, and apparently a lacking one, and it's causing problems for our young people when they're trying to get out into the workplace and thrive. Okay, next category: reasons for recent college graduate hires not being successful. Challenges with feedback.
So, in other words, they're saying that their employee doesn't take feedback. So, in other words, you're not doing a great job at this, or bingo. I would like you to do something else.
Right. Hmm. And they're receiving that. This has been my experience. They are receiving feedback, even when it is really well presented to them in a helpful and hopefully constructive sort of way. They're receiving that as like a deep and personal offense against them.
Do you think that some of that is because of this, the generation that has come about with everybody gets a trophy, like no matter what you do, like a participation award?
I think that's part of it. I've also been thinking about, and I would love to hear some feedback on this. I think a lot of my OG youth workers that are really deep into adolescent psychology would probably have some really good input on this. Here's what I am wondering about. I think, Andy, that so much of the lives of other people that our young people see are so well curated.
Mm.
I think there's a sense out there that like everybody just shows up with their best all the time. Like, and so that they're like, so the idea is that there's really not space or places out there or even a recognition of a reality of like, yeah, mm-hmm. you're not good at everything.
Right.
And number two, like there will be things, I mean, Andy, there's things that you and I suck at even now even now in our professional world, I can name categories right now where I go, not good at this thing. Mm-hmm. And at this point in my life, probably never going to be great at it. I might be able to get my C minus up to a C, maybe B minus area. But like, I know there are things that I'm never going to be good at, which is why, by the way, I don't do the fake it till you make it sort of thing, which young people feel like it's some pressure to do. And I get why. Like, I just try to be very, very real about here are my strengths. I want to swim in the area of my strengths as much as possible. And I want to, but then I want to also like surround myself with some, with resources and other people to help me, in the area of where I'm not going to be as great. That's a life skill. And by the way, I've gotten to those conclusions and I've done that, those things from through the means of feedback from other people who I think by and large want the best for me. And they're looking to, you know, like as I've developed as a professional and all that, they've wanted to see, you know, better things for me. I got some, it's been a couple months ago. So like I said, as I run a non-for-profit, and I'm not outing them or anything, but my president and vice president of my board came to me where it was a meeting we had scheduled, came to me and said, had a pretty, I think a pretty, it was kind, but it was pretty direct criticism about me delegating responsibilities to my board members, because I was in a mode of, it's just easier if I just do it myself. But it was creating a little bit of a bottleneck in our operation. Mm-hmm. Right. And so they came to me with that. And I will say I have a much greater awareness now, and I'm asking better questions. I received that. And so when they came to me and said, hey, Joel, we see this happening, I had really two options: either to crumble like a wet paper sack and say, I can't work here anymore. I'm not the right person. You don't like me anymore. You know, whatever. You get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or to say, hey, this is an opportunity. These people who I really trust, these people who know a decent amount about the work mm-hmm. that I do, are offering me an opportunity to recognize something that I'm not, probably a little bit of a blind spot, you know, and with me, and recognizing something I'm not doing too particularly well. It was helpful. I received that in a really, really helpful way. But receiving criticism and handling it well and making good things out of it
mm-hmm.
is a key to success.
Yeah. So we also have some comments on your Facebook page too. I was able to pull them in.
Gotcha.
So I didn't get all of them, but Jillian said, working with a couple of girls in their young 20s and having a daughter in her young 20s, I can verify that second, without a doubt, they have no clue how to be professional, have no clue what it means to be an adult, and have an attitude with anyone who questions them on anything. It's awful.
Interesting. Jill, we gotta talk more about this. Jill also sounds like maybe she had a recent run-in with this. It sounds fresh. It sounds fresh.
There is definitely some capital letters in there.
Without a doubt
in anyone. So.
All caps thing. We knew it was serious business. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. So going back to like Andy, if you're thinking right now, Michael, we're going to use you as an example because you're about ready to head off into this next chapter of life. If you were to have a conversation with Micah right now about hey, you're in, like even in college, hey, you're going to do some work projects, you're going to be whatever, and you're mm-hmm. going to inevitably, because it's literally part of the learning sure. process, you are going to get feedback on stuff. Mm-hmm. And not all of that feedback is going to be, way to go, Micah. Nice job. You nailed it 100%. Mm-hmm. What conversations would you want to have with him right now to like prepare him for that? Because I gotta be honest with you I'm thinking with my oldest son, mm-hmm. freshman in high school. This is something I need to do better at. This is like, and having these preparatory conversations for him. Cause eventually, I think especially for kids that have a particular high skill in areas and are drawn to things, mm-hmm. they do a lot of really great things. And then that kind of goes on for a while. And then eventually when they step it up to a next level or they have a new opportunity, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. they get their first kind of like harsh, what they see as harsh feedback.
Right.
What's the conversation you want to have with him about that?
So I think for one, I'm going to start and say he's had a couple different jobs already.
Yeah.
Three-ish jobs already in his high school career.
Yep.
And so I think he's been able to take some of that feedback and it's been in different areas. I mean, he's worked in automotives and he's worked in construction and also now, mm-hmm. you know, working, doing some quality control. And so I know that he's definitely had some feedback on stuff that he's done.
Yeah.
And I think he's taken it fairly well. Yeah. So I think it starts with us as parents. When we give feedback, you know, we can say like, hey, you know, I appreciate you cleaning your room.
Yeah.
But you did a terrible job of it. Okay. I wouldn't say that specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
I'm noticing you cleaned your room. However,
that's not my clean.
that's not to the standard that we would.
Right. Yeah. No, I think, and I think that that's tough as a parent because it also comes across different than it does if you are a coworker, you know, a worker or you're an employer, because mm-hmm. obviously there's some sense of, you're hiring me and I will get fired. And so I will have to look for a new job.
Right.
But I also think that like, I've seen turnover so crazy mm-hmm. of people in that age range from, I'm not in HR, but I do see when a lot of people come and go from our company.
Sure.
And so I've seen a lot of turnover with the college age, the age that we're talking about right now. And so I think that that's also something that maybe systemic, that it's more of a mentality of I can just get a different job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can get a different job.
Yeah.
And so we have the long
term. Yeah. The long term invest. That's our thing. Like the long term investment in companies, you know, Andy, when I was growing up, there was a company right in our town. It was a manufacturing organization and they had a sign up right by the road and they would recognize their long standing employee anniversaries. And all the time you'd be like, congratulations, Bob Smith, for 25 years at da da da, and 30 years or, you know, 15 years of this and whatever. And it's, and you, I'm sure there are still those people, but you just don't see that
it now. Anymore, right.
Right. The longevity.
And honestly, I mean, I'm seeing turnover, and granted, some of that turnover is people like leaving because they're retiring or mm-hmm, whatever, sure. or have been with a company for quite a while. And I get that. Like, I think in general, people need change every so often. But I think that what I'm seeing more and more of is this just churn of I'm bored. I'm going to move on. I'm bored. I'm going to move on.
And there's really a benefit. There is really a benefit for sticking with something
mm-hmm.
for a period of time Because if you're always if you're always like the new person, if you're just doing that like again and again and again, that gets old too, and you lose out on opportunities to like, hey, what might you encounter in a workplace at the 2 year mark, at the 3 year mark, where you're starting to gain some knowledge and understanding. You get a better sense of the organization and how it runs and things like that.
No, don't get me wrong. Some jobs and organizations are just not good fits.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Like
they aren't. Sure. They aren't. But I think overall we're seeing that. And I don't know. It's just interesting too. Like going back, I'm looking at some of the lower ones here.
Yeah.
I mean, bad culture fit. I mean, that's near the bottom here, and that's just over 30%, 32%. And I'm seeing like bad culture fit, and I get that. Like, I think that happens no matter what. I mean, sure. I don't want to, I'm not calling dirty. I'm not on the,
well, and it's this more, age. And the culture fit thing feels like to me, that's a heavy one. There's a responsibility for the employer there in a big way. Right.
You shouldn't be hiring people.
It should not be a surprise. There should be mechanisms in place,
right?
That are communicating culture and things like that up front as best you can.
Right. But I'm also seeing like, difficulty working on a team, and I think that's true, because I think part of this is we just are so individual these days. And again, not just the college age, because I'm saying everybody.
Yeah,
we're such an individual where, you know, I have social media, I can go live, and I'm an influencer, and I'm this and I'm that. That doesn't take working on a team.
Yeah, there is I was having the age old conversation with Aaron not too long ago. He was working on a school group project. We all love these
groups. I hate school projects.
Don't we love those group projects like that? Isn't the best? Because we all know, all of you know that if you've ever worked on a group project, especially in an academic setting, the high school, college, whatever it is, here's what you will guaranteed always have at least the one person you will have is the slacker. You will always have at least one person that is contributing next to nothing to this project and is really, really hopeful that the other people are going to do their jobs above and beyond and make up for their lack of performance. Right. And I will say, Andy, when in my college experience, I showed no mercy when it came to the group review portion, when you submit to the professor, like, hey, how do you think the other people did on this project?
You're like, terrible.
Yeah, I was just like, this person should have to retake this entire class. They should absolutely not get a free pass. But I will say, like, you know, I'm talking with Aaron, it's just like, he's like, man, it's so frustrating when somebody isn't doing this or that, or they're not, and it's like, hey, welcome to the rest of your life. And also welcome to, because I remember having a conversation with him. I was like, how do you think that this person that you feel like is not contributing to the group, how do you think you might be able to like involve them, call them in? Right. Like that's the sort of thing we're talking about, where it's like, even in your frustration with, you know, working with other people, how might you be able to overcome that? How might you be able to get through it? It's a necessary skill, working with each other. Which here's their thing, Andy, in our schools anymore, really the way that you do that is extracurricular activities with our kids, either in the arts, performing arts, or within sports or things like that. Like that, I think that's why it's so important. It's like, you got to get with other people toward a common mission and figure out, and they're coming from all different backgrounds and everything, and figure out how to climb that hill together. Right. Mm-hmm. That's a key skill. So, those are the top 10 kind of reasons in this recent study, the recent college graduate, that young 20 something was just, they weren't quite cutting the mustard, Andy, and, all categories to be thinking about as parents, guardians, preparing your young people for, their future work and even maybe what they're doing now, have those conversations.
So you've got this great chart here.
And yes,
maybe you can explain it for those listening, not watching.
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a faith, kind of a faith, I think, in practical application integration here in terms of your vocation, what you're doing for a job, but then also like, I think there's a good example to say, I think what God has called us to, in terms of, being, this is where I would say, where Christian discipleship informs, as it should, our how we conduct ourselves in our work and our professionalism in the world. So this is kind of this how this these two things overlap. So this right here is a it's a four quadrant. I use this in my coaching. I did the seminar with these recent high school graduates, people that are kind of taking a gap year a fellowship program. I talked about there's sort of this quadrant of people. So you have two key categories that we want to be talking about: character and competency. So I, as an employer and as a parent and as a community leader, or, you know, investing in my community, whatever, what I am hoping to accomplish, what I'm hoping to do, be the kind of person I want to be out in the world, is to be a high character, high competency person.
Sure.
So that's kind of that upper right hand quadrant there. A high character, high competency person will see a lot of fruit in their work. That's true of, again, you in your workplace. That's true of being a disciple of Jesus. That your character, who you are, what you bring, your honesty, your transparency, your thoughtfulness, all of those sort of things, what you bring in your person into other people, that character element is important. And then the competency. Now we're kind of talking in competency. We're talking about knowledge and skill. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how to do stuff.
Right.
Right. Competency, like in your field, Andy, like competency, in my mind, it's like either you have it or you don't. Right.
Sure.
Like, you have these skills to get these results, or you have it, or you just don't have them. You know, it's in the soft sciences, there's a little bit more of a fake it till you make it sort of thing. I get concerned about sometimes. But so, high character, high competency person, that's the goal. Then we have all these other, we have these other quadrants that we don't talk about enough. So we'll just go around. We'll go around counterclockwise. So then you have a high character, low competency or low skilled person. Here, I'm going to say this out loud for all of you listening. And I can say this is one area, because this is a high area of experience for me, and this is what I've seen. Christian ministries tend to attract this sort of person. And this is they are a sweet, kind, loving person. People like them. They are pleasant to be around, but they don't know anything.
Gotcha.
They lack necessary skills. But because we love Jesus, Andy, we're gracious and we're merciful, we let these people hang around too long in their current roles or in places, as opposed to the loving thing we should do is say, hey, we see you have a passion for this or desire. You're a great guy. You're a great gal. Let's get you some training. Let's get you some investment. Let's do it. Let's not just dance around this idea that you just don't quite have it yet. And that's okay. But we want to put things in place to help you learn, to help you succeed. Right. Okay. So that's, again, high character, low competency, low skilled person. They're going to be limited. That's the problem. There's going to be kind of a lid on what they're able to do. Then there's the person, this is really extreme, the low skill, low character person. They're irrelevant. They're
probably not going to be in.
They're not employable.
Right. You're not going to hire. You're probably not going to get them in the position to begin with.
Yeah. Unless they're a complete psychopath and have found a way to dupe everybody. That's an irrelevant person. They're not making impacts. Now, here's the other side of the quadrant, though, that I really, really want to talk about, because it is. And again, we're talking about, we've seen these people in the workforce, in the workplace. We've also seen them, if for those of you that are in ministry context or in faith communities, whatever, we've seen these sort of people. And this is what I want to talk about, because we're starting to wake up to this reality a little bit. Talking about the low character, high competency person. This, Andy, is a dangerous individual. This individual will hurt other people and will hurt larger organizations.
Well, and to be honest, I mean, you're going to get them in the position because you're saying they're high skilled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've so they're got skilled. The they're skilled for the job.
100% skilled, but they will use their skills to get ahead at any cost, right? Because there's no character there, sure. Right? There's no character there. So they're not thinking about how they're affecting other people necessarily. They will do what is necessary to get ahead, to be perceived in a certain light, to, you know, all of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so for talking about, again, talking about workplace stuff, even for our for young people, these are categories for number one, for you to apply to yourself, asking yourself, am I developing into being a high character, high competency person, not just pleasant to be around, but rather caring, a quality person rooted in good things, rooted in a right understanding of your identity, but then also just you're absolutely figuring out how to get better at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're dedicated to being to doing everything that you do with a certain excellence and quality. By the way, and for those of you that come from a faith perspective, we say this because our work is not our work alone. It's an act of worship, actually. It's an act, mm-hmm. It's a reflection of our relationship with God. And so that's vitally important. It's this low character, high competency person as well that I'm really concerned about. We've seen a lot of them recently in senior church leadership. This does a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some local instances here. Oh my gosh. They've been in the news here not too terribly long ago where, and this is why I always get, guys, I'm not cynical, but this is where I always get concerned. The church that they're leading is growing at a rapid rate. More and more programs, bigger building, all of that sort of thing. And then the news comes out, you know, that they have been engaged in things that are just
not good,
immensely harmful to people. And you can kind of, you know, connect the dots from where you want to. And we also ask the question, how was this possible? How did they find themselves in this position? It's because the particular culture, mm-hmm. of that organization valued the output, valued the skill, and didn't ask the question about their character.
Right.
Right. What was going on inside? What are their family relationships look like? Mm-hmm. What are their interpersonal relationships look like? How are they treating their staff? I mean, it always blows my mind because once the investigation starts on these things, when something blows up, the investigation starts on these things, you uncover like, oh, they had really, really toxic managerial, you know, they mm-hmm. use threats and fear to lead their staff or whatever. And this has been going on for years and everybody's so caught off guard by it. Let me just be very, very clear. We have a problem in our work cultures. And this is why, by the way, this is why I think our young adults have seen a lot of this and they're skittish. I think they're a little bit skittish, mm-hmm. in the workplace of this, where there's a little bit of an assumption. There can be an assumption of if you are in a place of authority, you will probably have some sort of deep corruption within, mm-hmm. you, right? So there's like, you know, and that doesn't have to be the case at all. I would say so. We just want to be on the lookout. Number one, we don't want to be that person. We don't want to be the highly skilled person. And we go, hey, I've got all the skills, and we just check our character development, check our you know, those things that actually matter, mm-hmm. at the door. Say, if I just keep on this course, I'll make all the mm-hmm. paychecks that I need to make, and we'll move forward, right? And it's no good. What we want to be is a high character, high competency person, and that's a really.
So up in the upper right hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll say this, Andy. I will hire a higher character, lower competency person than vice versa. Why? Because I can't teach character, but we can teach skills.
Right.
We can teach skills, right? So for me, it's like I tell my staff all the time, we hire for the vibe. And what that is if I have a sense of like you're a genuinely you're a curious person. I can see that you want to learn. Mm-hmm. I can see that you've got, you know, whatever. And that you're ready to enter into a skill development sort of mindset. You have a growth mindset.
You're going to go
great. Yep. We're great. if you come in trying to impress me with everything, you know, with who you are and all the things that you've done or whatever, like that is usually like a red flag to me. Because it's like, I want to know what's inside. I want to know what's in the heart. And, that's what's going to take us the farthest. That's what's, by the way, that's what's going to help form the best team. Cause if everybody is in that mindset, right, then there's really opportunity for growth, and
sure,
we're all going to challenge each other. We're going to teach each other. It's going to be good. So yeah, for our young adults, for young people, people that are investing, I would say, in young people as they enter into just life in general, and definitely into their various vocational mm-hmm. endeavors, to be thinking about character and competency, both of those things, how vitally important both are in the development of young people. And it's because it's not just Andy, just before I was here, I was with our good friends Matt and Courtney, who their son Gideon is doing college tours and things like that, and is looking into possible, you know, what he wants to do in the future. And I just love the conversation we're having them with them, talking about like when they're doing their college visits, about, hey, what's going to form our kid? Because he wants to go in and be an engineer. He's really, really interested mm-hmm. in engineering. How can he be the best engineer? And also, how can he just be the best human being?
Yeah.
Like where are the places that we're going to be investing?
Up in the upper things? Right hand.
Yeah, that's right. To the up and to the right. Right. How are we going to see him become a fruitful person? Mm-hmm. And you know, have a commitment, a kingdom commitment, right? That he is a disciple of Jesus as well, that, you know, he's going to go and be dangerous for the sake of the mm-hmm. kingdom, but also he's going to be doggone good at being an engineer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to make a really vital impact to whatever company he works for and all of that. I don't know, Andy, do you have the next slide there? This was on my presentation. Super funny. So here's my other thing I've been thinking about. The quote here is, I say, you will lose opportunities for authentic witness if you suck at your job. And then I said that quote was from Abraham Lincoln. That's not true at all. I just try to keep people on their toes, but, there's something to be, you know, I've just been thinking about that. Like, in my situation, if you're out in a secular marketplace, so to speak, and you have this sense of like, hey, I want to be a witness, in my work, you know, I want to be able to share faith and things like that. This is the reality. If you are better at your job, you will have more opportunities to do that. If you suck at your job, you will lose those opportunities.
Yeah.
It is hard for people to take what you say seriously in terms of you wanting to share good news with them, life-changing news with them. It's harder for them to take that seriously if you are coming from a place of just poor performance and poor mm-hmm. engagement and poor work ethic and all of that. So the two go together. This is why, I mean, again, do all things as unto the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Do your work well, be an excellent example. And all of that. So yeah, that's my, oh, you even got the, we seldom throw a Bible verse up here, but that's,
there you go.
Yeah. Is that Colossians 3:23-24? This is, and that's kind of it's just a great grounding. If you want to have a kind of a faith-based discussion with your kids about work, about vocation. Yeah. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Gosh, guys, if I don't know what says it more clearly than that.
Well, and I would even say, like, again, we're Christians. We're not, this show is not necessarily a Christian. Yeah. And so I know we have people that aren't Christians, but that, even that, and just in general, like, do whatever you do with all your heart. Like,
yeah,
like do it well. Like, so even if you take, I don't want to say take God out of that scripture, because it's scripture, but I mean, like, that's a good, even if you're not a Christian, that's a good scripture to base your whole, the way you do your job on.
No, I just think that if you do your work with all of your heart, if you find a way, and again, I know there's a whole bunch of different kinds of jobs out there, a whole different kind of working environments, all of that. But if you can find a way to do what you're doing, to give yourself fully to the work that you're doing, I think you're better for it. I think we're all better for it. I think if we can call our, you know, our young people to that and remind them of that and kind of have a culture and understanding of around that, you know, toward the work that they do, it's going to go better. And we're going to help our young people succeed, because apparently there's some struggles going on right now in the workplace. And we think a few corrective measures might help them succeed. So,
Joel, we have come to the end.
Oh, we have.
Of an amazing episode.
Thank you. It has been amazing.
Do you have any final comments before we wrap tonight?
Let's see. Here's the comments, Annie. We haven't said this for a while. For people that are listening to this show, the like, subscribe, share, all of that sort of stuff. I've just been thinking about this.
Yes.
Again, we're not out here for fame and fortune. What it does do is it helps other people find the show. Because it's like, hey, if you like this, then you know, the algorithms, they work in mysterious ways, but it helps other people discover the show. It helps other people be invited to the community. So I would just say, if you have in any way, at any time, miraculously benefited from the content of these conversations that we have on the Dudes and Dads podcast, if you would, on your socials, share it with others. We'd love that. Like, follow, hit the bell. The notification and thing is good too.
So Roy is asking if we are on YouTube. Yes, Roy, we are. You can find us at dudesanddads.com/YouTube. We'll take you to our YouTube show.
Thanks for the question, Roy. Yes. And by the way, an opportunity for us to just shamelessly plug the YouTube. That's great.
So yes,
that's
good. dudesanddads.com/YouTube. We'll take you to our YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you get to see us. You get to see the real us.
And I would say hit up our voicemail, because again, we love our voicemail. So 574-501-4463. And you know what, Joel?
What, Andy?
I'm really digging this music.
Yeah, as always, show music, theme music provided by the incomparable Scott Allen. What a treasure he is. And again, Scott Allen, teaching the young people down at Grace College, investing in their future. Going to be great, great musicians, great studio people, recorders, all that good stuff. We thank you, Scott. Hey, everybody, as always, you can connect with us over at dudesanddads.com. That's right, dudesanddads.com. Got all previous episodes, show notes, all that good stuff. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Remember to like, share, subscribe, do all that stuff. We appreciate it. And until next time, we wish you grace.
And peace. Roy found us.
We found you, Roy. Thanks, Roy.